Inside the Buddy Wiser Bud Light Blues crew, that's my man Willie Weston. Take your hand out of my pocket. At 604 in the city right now, it's time to go live to the phone line and check in with Mr. Buddy Huggins. Of course, he's the promoter for Extreme Mid-South Wrestling, along with our special guest this evening.
Good evening, Mr. Huggins. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Pretty good. What about yourself?
Doing wonderful. I've got a gentleman on the phone that folks is going to remember. I go all the way back with him, 1968. I actually met him, shook his hand, let him know who I was as a little 8-year-old boy. He impressed me real highly, and throughout his whole career, he's impressed me. His name is Danny Hodge from Oklahoma. Danny?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to have you as my guest today.
Thank you, buddy.
You impressed me as a 8-year-old boy, and you impressed the nation as one of our top athletes. You were in the Olympics. Were you?
I was in two Olympics.
Two Olympics.
Right. 52. I was in Helsinki, Finland. I was the youngest wrestler ever to make the Olympics. And I got fifth place, and I told everyone that I'd see him at the next Olympics. Well, what's the chances of you making it from your country 4 years from now and me making it from my country again 4 years from now? Can you see the bonding of the athlete? And I went back to Melbourne, Australia 4 years later and got a silver medal.
Goodness sakes. And you were, was it that next year you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, or?
Right.
And is that true? You're the only wrestler to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
So far, I'm the only amateur wrestler ever to have been on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine. And, you know, it was quite an honor. Of course, back in those times, you know, wrestling amateur was very strong, and I was wrestling at the University of Oklahoma. And, of course, going back just a little bit before that, I had wrestled in junior high and was a junior high state champion, and I won the state champion in high school here in Perry my senior year. And then I had joined the Naval Reserves, and I was called into the United States Navy for the Korean War. So I went to Great Lakes up at Waukegan, Illinois, by Chicago, and I started a wrestling team there and got stationed at Great Lakes for 2 years, and I pinned every wrestler that I wrestled there for 2 years.
Mm.
And so then I got a scholarship to the University of Oklahoma, and I'd asked God if there's any way that I could go through college undefeated. And I worked hard, and of course we wasn't eligible as our freshmen in those times. And I started the latter part of, I started getting pins, but then I had one decision, and I had about four pins in a row, and I wanted to see how many pins I could get in a row. And of course, then we got out of school, and then that was my sophomore year, and then my junior year, I came back, and I pinned everyone. And then everybody kept saying, well, he can't continue the pins. And then I came back my senior year, and I pinned everyone that year also. And so I had 26 pins in a row, but I had pinned 36 out of the 46 matches. And the Big 7 tournament, which is the Big 12 now here, and later Big 8, but Big 7, I'd pinned everybody there 3 years in a row. And I'm the only wrestler to have gone through college and never being taken down. And I've got 26 pins in a row, and I'm looking for young men and talent out there now in the amateurs to break my record, you know. And I let major decisions count also as fall.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, quite a distinguished amateur career. And give me a little indication when you did go pro, and under what federation?
What circumstances? Okay, buddy. Well, as you know, when I got out of when I graduated from University of Oklahoma, I went to Kansas, and then somebody asked me how would I like to go to the Golden Globes, you know, and it's another question, wouldn't everybody? And so I started boxing there and never had the gloves on in my life, and the people there was getting me two and three fights a week to get out of the novice into the open, and again, I'm knocking everyone out. And I had went through all my matches, and then I won the regional tournament in Wichita, Kansas, and I went to the tournament champions in Chicago, and won that. And then I had an opportunity to go to the national inner city Golden Gloves in Madison Square Garden as a heavyweight. And then if I win this match, I'll be the only athlete in the world to have gone undefeated in both wrestling and boxing. And I knocked out Charles Hood in the second round to win the National Golden Gloves tournament in Madison Square Garden.
Okay. I remember reading that in the Sports Illustrated. Yes.
Yes. And then in the latter part of 58, I turned pro in boxing, and I had 10 pro fights, won 8 of those, rated 11th. And but I didn't get paid, so I figured I could get all the fights I wanted on the corner here at Perry, Oklahoma, and not train near as hard for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I my love of wrestling, I started wrestling. I'd call Mr. Leroy McGurk up and told him I'd like to wrestle professionally, and of course he had watched all my amateur matches. And even though he was blind, he knew more was going on than you and I did watching from the people, description and telling him. And he knew that I was a very strong and quick young man.
Leroy had already lost his eyesight at that time?
Yeah, he lost it in 1950.
Mm-hmm. He actually wrestled in the 30s and 40s?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a great amateur. He was a national champion at Oklahoma A&M,
mm-hmm.
which is OSU now at Stillwater.
So you came in under Leroy McGurk?
I did.
How soon was it before you actually started traveling the territory towards this area? What was the date that you came to Mississippi?
Well, I had started, and of course, wrestling, you know, I was going in Texas, Tennessee, and California, and Oklahoma, and Kansas, and Mississippi, and every place. And of course, like I said, I'm trying to get a title shot with Angelo Savoldi. And of course, if I lose a match, then I drop down on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't lose any. And so in 9 months, I was world's junior heavyweight champion. And like I said, I had the privilege and pleasure of coming into Mississippi. Fans were so wonderful, and I just can't thank them enough. And like I said, I'm hoping that many of the old-timers in my era that saw wrestling, I wanted them to see the best, and when I stepped into the ring, you know, I was the best.
You were definitely the best, and I want to mention this while we're at this point. When Danny Hodge wrestled, listen, audience, wrestling was 100% real. He took every match completely serious, and his opponents took it 100% serious. And it was that way for over 40 or 50 years. And now what you see on TV now, on WWF and those other leagues, those big leagues, they're actually like my friend Dr. Def Steve Williams said, they're high-paid stuntmen. And they don't take the profession as seriously as these gentlemen did when Mr. Danny Hodge was coming up. That's what made the sport great, is the people that built it. And a lot of people are taking for granted what's going on in the wrestling scene today. We have people here, Mr. Hodge, that will actually be untrained and get into a ring and have the gall or the tenacity to put a belt on themselves and call themselves a champion.
Well, see, being a commissioner here in Oklahoma now, appointed by our governor, you know, all the boys that wrestled must get a license from the state of Oklahoma. And through this qualification is the only way that they can wrestle. And so, you know, they've got to come through the commission, and I hope that I have made it easier and better for the young men trying wrestling today. So that you know, we need some superstars, but we don't need people going out here and hurting themselves, not knowing how to wrestle.
Well, it's so bad in the state of Mississippi that we're trying to align ourselves with qualified promoters, number one, myself being one that sticks to tradition and only does it the old school way. I know things have to be modern, so I'm including some modern theatrics goes along with the matches. Storylines and things that we base things on are good versus evil, and it always needs to stay on that level. But I'm inviting all these non-trained backyard-type wrestlers to look at what I'm doing and to see who I'm working with, the Bill Watts, the Dr. Def Steve Williams, you're mentoring to me now. We've had several conversations over the last few months, and I know what it takes to actually see. I see a place that we're headed. We just got to get there and make wrestling stand for something, so we can get the fan base back up like it needs to be, and these fans can see good, qualified wrestling with wrestlers that put out just 100% because they want to get to the big show.
Well, like I said, we need some young men that really wants to wrestle, but it's hard to find a lot of that ability if you don't have wrestling in your state, where you can go through the high school and the collegiate competition.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's where your real, true grappling wrestlers come from. You were referred to a lot of your career as a hooker and a shooter. Enlighten the folks on what that is. That's real.
You're hitting me with new questions. No, you know, I was always in shape, buddy. Because when the fans paid to see me wrestle, I can promise you that I'm going to wrestle. And you, as an opponent of mine, should I take you over and you don't try to get loose, I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to get up and I'm going to stomp you. I'm going to make you wrestle.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
You gave them lessons after lessons, and I witnessed that coming up.
But I've had a lot of young men challenge me to matches.
Well, see, back then, the stage was set for the young line to challenge, you know, the older established wrestler. Nowadays, these young kids, they get these breaks and what we call pushes, and they push them all the way to the top, and they can no more wrestle than a man in the moon.
Well, I think wrestling has taken a step backwards, but with the way that you're doing things, you're doing the right way for the fans.
Thank you. Coming from you, that means a lot to me, and I want everybody out there to know that I'm doing it for the right reasons, for the heart. We get into the schools, we give positive role models to the children, and they need that so much. They need to know there's right and wrong. They need to know that you leave the drugs and the drinking alone, that there's good role models, positive role models, and that's what we stand for here in Mississippi, Mr. Hodge, and I thank you for that compliment and appreciate it.
Sounds great.
And you will be talking to me here in the near future. I'm coming to Oklahoma, and I want to meet you. We got some shows scheduled for that area, and I'll be working with, you know, a fellow by the name of Tom Jones.
Yeah, I know Tom real well.
Okay.
In fact, I've wrestled Tom in Greenville.
Right, exactly.
And a great athlete. And
knows how to train.
He trains people and... Mm-hmm. Like I say, he's taken a few lessons from me also.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What a super great athlete, young man. It worked very hard for the fans and for the wrestlers.
Well, I'm bringing Tom to Mississippi, and
super.
And we've got some other fine organizations out there that's going to be working with us. We're building back what Leroy McGirt had, and people keep saying, well, how long is it going to take, buddy? How long is it going to take? I tell you, nothing happens overnight. If you fans out there, y'all listen, and as you hear these shows come up, y'all come on out. We'll be in Batesville the 11th. That's tomorrow. It's a free show for the public. We're doing association with All Pro. Y'all come on out. The 1st in Batesville, December the 1st, we'll be back announcing shows right after Christmas. I'll be telling people what we can expect in Greenville, Greenwood, Winona. Look out for Winona. We're just coming. We even got something planned for Jackson, Mississippi. But thank you for being my guest. I know we don't have enough time to talk what we need to say, but when I come to Oklahoma, I'm definitely going to get with you, and we're going to get the history covered a little bit better.
Looking forward to it, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Al?
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Hodge, Mr. Huggins. Of course, that's Mr. Buddy Huggins. He's a promoter for Extreme Itself Wrestling. And make sure you get on out in Batesville tomorrow night and check it out, too. At 6:20 in the city right now, you're inside the Budweiser Bud Light Blues Cruise. For all you do, this is Bud's for you. And keep it right here for the best blues in the Delta. G&L, G&G.
Make it cool, make it solid, make it true. Make it up, make it down, make it blue. Make it round, make it nice, make it right. Make it worth my world tonight. Make it loose, make it tight, cause you gotta make everything alright. You gotta make it real smooth when you let it flow. Don't make it straight, just take it slow, cause I'ma make it jump off till it's time to go. All the way from the end to the outro. Make it good from beginning straight to the end. Make me wanna come back for once again. Make me rise on a scale of 1 to 10. Then make another rhyme. Make it too much or not enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Make it fast, make it fast. Make it this, make it that. Make sure everything's all in
time.
That's right.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
At 6:21 in the city right now, you're inside.